quite common. It's always interesting to me to see biblical phrases in secular literature, and I suppose that's there to some degree because the Bible is what was taught in schools in the 1700s and 1800s. It was scripture. And Ben Franklin, who didn't claim, a strong walk with God or even the name of being a Christian, he would quote the scripture. And there's a phrase that I want to share with you for a while tonight that you will probably know exactly where it is. Well, I'll tell you. It's in Matthew 10, and we'll go ahead and turn there. But the phrase is, freely you have received, freely give. Now, I wonder if the Message, that translation, the Message that gets pretty messy sometimes, you kind of wonder about it. I wonder if it has easy come, easy go. That's the attitude of the world sometimes. Oh, well, doesn't make any difference. So what? But the Lord had something powerful in mind here when he said this. And we'll read Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Let's read 7 and 8. He's sending out his disciples, and he's giving them direction to go. And he says, let's read it together. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And you can imagine the expression on the faces of the disciples as they hear this. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That would be humanly impossible, and certainly that's way beyond the scope of man's abilities. But God, amen, but God can do a work. You can be seated. God bless you. The Lord chose Israel, and he told him at one point, I have brought you on eagle's wings, figurative speaking, and chosen you. And he made it plain that they were the chosen. And in Acts 19, he tells them, or Exodus rather, Exodus 19, if you will obey my voice, keep my covenant, so there's strings attached, obviously, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to be a peculiar treasure, a treasure above all people, but you're going to be a treasure to me. Maybe not to everybody else, but to me, you're going to be a treasure above all people. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a holy nation. Praise God. And at this point, they were just having the priesthood instituted. They were just, in terms of Mosaic law, they were just having holiness defined in the way that that the Lord expected them to be sanctified. They weren't completely cognizant yet of all that God had in mind. But I think they understood, we're chosen. We're special. We belong. Praise God. And that was to bring about the amazing changes that were to come in their lives. Now, in Deuteronomy 7, Moses continues with the aspect of you're chosen. You're special. You're different. And there's several verses there that emphasize the aspect of love. The Lord loved them. That's why he chose them. They were not a nation with the most people, the greatest population, the most in terms of armies or military, and therefore could go into the promised land and conquer. No, Moses said, actually, you were the fewest. But the Lord loved you. It was his love that made him choose you. Amen. Thank God for love that brings about a choice and brings about a change. Amen. Not just a change of location from Egypt into the wilderness and then into the promised land, but a change in them. That was what God was after, and likewise with you and me. God will fulfill his word. It will come to pass, no matter how long it takes, no matter how many receive it or reject it. God will fulfill his word. And you look at verse 9 of Deuteronomy 7. The Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. Amen. I'm glad that we know that from experience. And them that love him, he'll keep his promises to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations? Wow, that's a long time. That's an amazing amount of time. And generations come and go in our situations, and we, if we're interested in genealogy and family trees and that sort of thing, we may know the name of our great-grandfather and great-grandmother. But if I think I were to ask you tonight, there would just be a handful that would be able to say, I know, because I sure don't. I know my grandfather and grandmother, but beyond that, I don't, to my shame, I guess. But if I wanted to find it out, obviously I could. But that's how quick things are forgotten. That's how quick things are you know, passed from our influence, our memory, and so on. God help us to understand the Lord doesn't forget. The Lord doesn't cast off. The Lord doesn't put aside. No, 1,000 generations he will be faithful to, and we thank God. Now, if you just kind of glance through Matthew 10 and the Lord sending his disciples out, you know that he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. What? He's being very specific here now because of the choice that he made hundreds of years before, hundreds of generations. And he's reaching out to them, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They've wandered. They've become lost. They need to return to their shepherd. Amen. But yet we know, even dealing with the Israelites, when the Lord was reminding them in Luke 4 about the miracles that were done, he didn't list the miracles that were done to the Hebrews. There were many lepers, but who was healed? Naaman the Syrian. There were many widows, but who did Elijah minister to? The widow of Zarephath. They're not Hebrews. They don't have that heritage. And so the Lord was letting them know, you need to grasp what I'm giving you now. Don't let it slip. Don't be Teflon. Grab a hold of it, that promise, that word. Amen. And thank God that the Samaritans were reached, and God did reach out. That Syrophoenician woman who is Greek, Canaanite, whoever, whatever her background was, and pleading for her daughter, and the Lord ignoring her, the disciples saying, send her away. Not much compassion, it would seem. But the Lord, thank God, did a work for her. And she called him Lord 3 times. She wasn't, it wasn't just, Naaman's initial reaction was, I thought he'd come out and pray. I thought he'd come out and say something. He didn't even bother to, come and speak to me. And the waters of Jordan, muddy, silty, nasty. The waters of Syria or some Damascus, so much better. That was his initial attitude. And this woman could have had that kind of attitude too. Not fair to take the crumbs from, or the bread rather, from the children and cast it to the dogs. Wow. That meaning is clear. But her faith reached for just the crumbs. Praise God. And the Lord did a healing work in that moment. Praise God. And I'm glad God can do an immediate work. I'm glad he can do a long time work, long term. I'm just glad he works. And I want him to keep working in me and in you. Praise God. Amen. Now, the Lord didn't leave out the Samaritans. He went, I must needs go through Samaria. And again, if we were there, I think, maybe, perhaps, those disciples murmured to each other, Samaria? I don't want to go to Samaria. What are we going to go to Samaria for? But he said, I must needs go. And they're probably wondering why. And then he sent them on to get something to eat, and he met that woman by herself at the well. And then the conversation in John 4 ensued. Praise God. Oh, I'm so glad the Lord doesn't leave anybody out. I'm so thankful he includes everybody. Amen. And the woman went and testified, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So they went, they listened, they heard, and they later told her, now we believe, not because of your word, but we've heard him ourselves. Thank God that there's that kind of ability to be in the presence of the Lord, to benefit from the presence of the Lord, not just shrug it off, not just feel like, oh, well, this is, yeah. But to have the power of God bring a change. Praise God. Now, freely you have received, freely give. We often relegate that to giving. Thank God you're a giving church. Amen. God bless you. And I know the Lord blesses you. Otherwise, you wouldn't continue to give. We've learned that you can't outgive the Lord. The Lord just continues to bless as we continue to give to his kingdom. Praise God. What an amazing God. But we know of situations, stories of people who lived in poverty but had a portfolio of stocks that would have made them extremely wealthy. I'm trying to remember the story of a widow who lived in a house that was very substandard. She lived in poverty, and when she passed, they found thousands of dollars in her wall. I don't know if she was insulating her house with all of that money or what. But she didn't need to live in poverty. She had thousands of dollars. I remember a report of someone recognizing counterfeit. This is not right. This is counterfeit. And the police were notified, and they began to trace, and they went to a man's house who was an artist. And they discovered, and he was in the process of making another counterfeit bill. He was hand-painting it. And it was so close that that bill had been passed on probably before, and he'd been successful at doing it before. And he, of course, was arrested. And the amazing thing is, the artwork that he had hanging on the wall sold for hundreds of dollars. And here he is counterfeiting, I think it was a $5 bill. You know, the point is, there are so many people who waste talent, waste ability, waste what they've been given. When Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give, he qualified it by saying, heal, cleanse, raise, cast out, way beyond their realm of ability. But if they trusted the Lord, If they recognize what they had received, they would be able to step forth and give freely. Praise God. And we know that's what they did. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for that because of the power and the blessing that is there. Now, that 3.5 trillion example that I gave you a while back, you know, amazing to spend $1 million a day, and it would take you 9,800 years to do that. Stack $100 bills, it would be 2,200 miles high. Satellites orbit about 200 miles, I think. A stack of $100 bills, 10 times higher than that. That's amazing. Our Congress just passed a bill for that. Freely receive, freely give. Well, that's not what Jesus meant. No, it's powerful in the realm of the Spirit, the work that God wants us to do. And I think, you know, people that win the lottery, and amazing, no psychics do. Anyway, people that win the lottery, you would think their lives would change for the better. But statistics show they're divorced in 2 years. Their money is gone, and they're living back the way they were before winning the lottery. Money is not the answer. And that's why the Lord said all of those supernatural things that you could do, because you've received freely, you can give freely. Praise God. Thank the Lord that that kind of power is available. Now, that kind of power means change. The riches in the spiritual realm to change you. Not just thrill you, not just make you say, wow, and that's awesome, and so on, but to bring change in your life, okay? 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, there's a reminder. Now, we have received, and thank God we've received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Totally opposite there, huh? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There's that abundance again, that whole realm, the whole aspect of God providing way beyond our imaginations, way beyond what we think, what we ask or think, all that we ask or think, above all that we ask or think, abundantly above all that we ask or think, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But we've got to grab a hold of that. It's got to be something real in our lives. Amen. Because it's freely given to us. And oh, thank God, forgiveness. How can you put a price tag on forgiveness? Amen. The devil comes rattling his chains of bondage and addiction and so on. Thank God, I've been forgiven. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Amen. I went down to the waters of baptism and didn't just get wet. I got saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All my sins being remitted. Amen. I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came upon me. Amen. Thank God. And it wasn't just one and done. It's something that continues because of God's power. Amen. The spirit of the world, we know, is real as well as the Spirit of God. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He said, the peace I give is not like the peace that the world gives. There's a difference between sorrow of the world and godly sorrow. And thank God we're able to move into that realm that the Lord has for us and the blessings that He brings and the power that He provides. Amen. Now, here's the new birth, born of the water, born of the Spirit. Here are two references in the apostles' writings that would hearken back to born of the water and born of the Spirit. Titus 3 and 5 is one of them. And it underscores the aspect that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to buy it. It's not going to be something that you can purchase through your actions. Not works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then there's the reference, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That washing is baptism. And, of course, the Spirit of God is the power that the Lord wants to reveal in us in his glory. Praise God. You can't earn it. It's by grace you are saved through faith. It's the gift of God, freely given. Praise God. And the price was high. You didn't pay it. He did. Extremely high, ultimately high. And thank God he paid that price. Okay, and the second one. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, the apostle goes through different lifestyles, different ways of people living, and I'm convinced that it's phrases, verses like this, verse 11, verse 10, verse 9, that make people want to do away with the Bible. Be not deceived. He emphasizes that. Don't be deceived. It's not going to be these lifestyles that are going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Not going to be these practices, these ideas, these thoughts that are going to be there. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11, such were some of you. Thank God there's a change. Thank God you received freely. Amen. The power of the Lord brought about a change that nothing else could make. No one else could make. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. There's the born of the water and by the Spirit of our God. There's being born of the Spirit. So those two references that substantiate what Jesus said about being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Thank God that there produces a change. Amen. Not just driving a different car, living in a different house, and so on, but a new you. Thank the Lord because of that power of God that he is able to reveal. And what we've received from God is powerful enough to change our lives and keep changing our lives for his glory and what he thinks we should be in holiness. Amen. Praise God. So then, freely give. And again, we're going way beyond monetary, way beyond the money. Thank God you give tithes. Thank God you give offerings. Thank God you give sacrificially. But we're talking more than that. Amen. Thank the Lord that you shall receive the Holy Ghost, he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. So the power of the Spirit was to give power to witness and to witness about the Lord and what he is able to do. Thank God. And in that deliverance, in that forgiveness, in that change, you live a life of liberty in the Lord. And others can see that. Others need to be aware of that. Amen. Not secretly serving God, but every day in every way serving the Lord and being obedient to his word. Amen. Such as I have, give I thee. Peter said that, didn't he?
Yes.
At the gate beautiful. And he'd received. Oh my, he'd received. Praise God. And baptized in the name of the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching a powerful message on the way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and the lame man begging, such as I have, give I thee. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Praise God. He was told 3.5 years before, No, I want you to go. I want you to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And they went forth and did it. So now, here it's continuing. Because freely you've received, freely give. Praise God. The demons being cast out, all the supernatural things that were happening. And that lame man immediately was up, leaping, walking, praising God. Praise God. Freely you've received, freely give. And it wasn't monetary, because that wouldn't have made any difference anyway. May have bought him a new blanket, a new robe, and a better meal at home, but praise God, money didn't buy what he had in that moment. Praise God. Thank the Lord. There would be that power and that blessing that would be imparted to him. I wonder what happened to him. I wonder what else he did. I'm sure this was Jerusalem, right? Yeah, it was the temple. I'm sure he was down at the market, you know, just greeting everybody, walking all around it, and thrilled that he was able to walk and then able to tell people, remember, I was the beggar? I couldn't walk. Never walked. Never took a step in my 40-plus years. And now the Lord did a work in me. And what a difference, what a change. Praise God. And the disciples continued with this. Philip went to Samaria. Thank God there had been a seed planted there back in John 4. And now it's being brought to fruition. The whole town filled with joy, the miracles, the deliverance, and the power of God. They've been baptized twice. It says they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. The Lord is serious about being born of the water and the Spirit. Praise God. And the apostles were as well, because they're the ones that heard him. And so Peter and John are sent down from Jerusalem to Samaria, and they go and lay hands on them and pray, and they receive the Holy Ghost. Something supernatural happened because Simon the sorcerer said, give me that power. I'll give you money. Give me that power. And I lay hands on somebody, they'll receive the Holy Ghost. So it was something supernatural, something powerful. Amen. And in keeping with what everybody else received, they spoke in tongues. And the power of the Lord was displayed upon them. Simon, you can't buy the Spirit of God. Your money perish with you. You need to repent. And he did. Praise God. And thank the Lord. I wonder what happened. I wonder if he continued. I wonder if he didn't fall back into this sorcery business and extorting money from people and making himself rich in a evil and devilish way. Thank God a powerful change came to him. He'd been baptized too, right? Says he was baptized. Praise God. And I believe that he received the Holy Ghost and God did a work for him because he asked for prayer. Amen. Now, Samaria. Samaria. That's in the scripture a lot of times. And I wonder if they could recall Samaria in the time of Elisha. They're shut up in a siege. The army of the Syrians has got them closed up. It's been going on for some time because their diet is awful, terrible, even resorting to cannibalism, just an awful, awful situation. But the prophet says, tomorrow at this time, the abundance. The man, I'm sure there was more than one man who said, how can this be? If the Lord would open the windows in heaven, how would that happen? God help us to believe. Amen. To understand that there, you know, God can do things. You know, what would we pray for? What would we ask for if it was wide open for the Lord to say, tomorrow at this time, this is what's going to happen? Not doubt it. Not, not asking how, the windows of heaven open. And no, just believe it. Because God can change things in 24 hours. Oh, yes, he can. Praise God. He can reveal great power and great might. Okay, so we know. Four lepers outside the gates of the city, declaring to one another, why sit we here until we die? If we go to the camp of the Syrians, they'll just kill us. If we sit here, we're going to die. Let's go. Let's see what will happen. And so those four lepers, poor fellows, leaning on one another, shuffling through the dust, hardly making any headway, no speed at all because their condition was just terrible. But what the Syrian army heard was something different. Now, God can, it's just amazing what God can do in making his will come to pass, his word be fulfilled. And they heard a mighty army, they heard a great host, they heard horses and chariots, they heard all kinds of things. And they panicked. Confusion. God's not the author of confusion, but he can sure send confusion. Praise God. And that's what happened to that army. They got up, they fled, they started fighting with each other. They left roast there, they left their garments there, they left everything there. And they ran for their lives. And those four lepers are plodding along. Crest the last hill, look down into the valley where the camp of the enemy is. Not a soul in sight. Nothing. The fire is burning, the tents flapping in the wind. The animals standing by, perhaps, and they go in and realize nobody's here. Look at this food. Look at this gold. Look at this silver. Look at these garments. And they began to gather for themselves as, I won't describe what they looked like as they tore off a drumstick and took a big bite, waved it around. But they came to the realization, just like they came to the realization, we're going to die, we might as well give it a try. They came to the realization, we do not well. This is the best they've done in months, in years. This is the most they've had in their lives. What do you mean you do not well? This is a day of rejoicing, and we need to go and tell them. Praise God. Freely you have received, freely give. It's got to apply in those situations. Amen. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Now, this day that we're living in has got a lot of questions, a lot of turmoil, a lot of trauma, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear, a lot of concern. And you have the answer for hope. You have the answer for change. You have the answer. Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I wonder if we can get to the point where we say we do not well if we're not witnessing. We do not well if we're not testifying. We do not well if we're not teaching Bible study. Amen. Because freely we have received, freely give. Praise God. It happened just like the prophet said it would happen. And the man who doubted did not partake. You're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it. And he was trampled underfoot as the crowd raced out of Samaria, through the gates, down the road, to the plenty that the army had left behind. God changed their circumstances just like that. 24 hours. The whole city. Praise God. So, I wonder if Samaria could remember how God changed things back then and then rejoice in how God was changing them when Philip preached and Peter and John came and prayed. Praise God. God changed that city. Great joy in the city. Amen. Not a burden, not a hardship, not a difficulty. No, no. They were thrilled with what God had done for them and the blessings that were coming forth because of the power that was being displayed. There was healings. There was miracles. There were demons being cast out. The word of God preached powerfully. Amen. Baptisms taking place. Amen. Thank God that the power of the Lord is there to do the work. Now, multiplied. Multiplied is seen several times in Scripture. And the actions from the book of Acts declare this this multiplication. Acts 6 and 1, we'll just go through them real quick here. Acts 6 and 1, also verse 7, the disciples were multiplied. There was an increase. And we know from Acts that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thank God there was multiplication. Amen. And thank God that that kind of power is available. Now I'm one witness, one testifier. But there's about 30 people in here, 25 people in here, and if we all took that idea of witnessing and testifying, look at the multiplication. And then the church grows and increases, and we've got 50. That multiplication doubles. And then you see what I'm getting at. It just will grow. It will multiply. And the effectiveness of it is going to increase. Praise God. The churches were multiplied. Acts 9 and 31. Thank God the churches continued to grow. There was the increase. There was the cities that were being reached. There was the power of God that was being displayed and the wickedness of this world being pushed back. As God was doing a work. The word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 12 and 24. That doesn't mean that there was more added to it. The scripture says don't add to it. It just means there were more people that learned it. There were more people that believed it. There were more people that received it. And they were changed by the word of God. Changed by the power of the Lord. Amen. The world wants to multiply your misery, your sorrow, your grief. Peter was in prison. James had been beheaded. And Peter's on death row. But we see him sleeping. Should be praying. He should be crying. He should be carrying on and pleading with his captors and so on. No, he's sound asleep. The angel had to smite him and wake him up. Smote him on the side. What did that look like? Get up. Put on your sandals. We're leaving here. And the chains fall. Shh. Don't wake the guards up. I think the Lord put a sleep on them. And the doors opened. And Peter left. Praise God. And the message and the ministry continued. Amen. Thank the Lord that God wants to multiply his word to meet your needs, to meet many needs. Thank the Lord. And he'll set us free. Bring us out of confinement that the devil wants to put us in. Nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to hear. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to, and all kinds of things. We don't even take time to minister, to testify. We're in a little prison of self. We're in a little space that is me, me, me. My needs, my thoughts, my ambitions, my goals, my this, my that. Not going to receive much from God with that kind of a outlook, and that kind of a lifestyle. Thank God that there's the freely receive, freely give that the Lord would provide for. Now, again, that's not easy come, easy go. The value of the gift is defined or determined by the price, right? Got a bunch of iPads around here. Our worship team uses their iPads, and they communicate with one another and send a song list, and it's all pretty cool. You don't see them just throwing those iPads around. The price has gone way down on those iPads, haven't they? But they're still kind of expensive. You know, three of those ear pods. How much are ear pods? 200? You don't just leave them laying somewhere. If you do, I'd sure like to know how much money you got and make sure you're paying your tithe and giving your offerings. The value of something is determined by the price. The Lord paid a huge price for you. A huge price. And that's the value that you need to put on your witness, on your testimony, on what you can tell, what you can teach the Word of God. Buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. I'm thankful that we can give that truth. Teaching it, preaching it, living it. Amen. Seeing what the Lord will do because of what He desires to impart. Let's stand. Freely receive, freely give. I hope we see the supernatural aspect that the Lord made there. Because the natural things of this world certainly are not going to satisfy. They're not going to deliver. They're not going to have anywhere near the answers that people need. The natural things of this life get people in trouble. Trying to satisfy, the seeking and searching and trying to find fulfillment and so on, we know ends up bondage, ends up with addictions, ends up with difficulties and problems. And then that is passed on to the rest of society. I read two reports where people on drugs, on one guy on mushrooms and killing other people, taking lives. That's the world we're in. That's the world that needs help. That's the world that needs your testimony, needs your witness. And your prayers and your faith, that's going to make a difference. It will. Thank God that we can be part of it. Amen. Come down to the front again, please, and we're going to pray and worship for a little bit. Looking forward to fellowship and good food downstairs, but I think the Lord wants to touch us tonight with the understanding of freely you have received, freely give, and what is the potential that's there, the power that can be displayed, the blessings that can come forth. Thank God that we can know that strength and that goodness. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.